Really, what somebody needs to tell them is you need to do what everybody in this country has done, which is get off your ass and get to work.
They don't see the government as an oppressor.
No.
Isn't that interesting? No, and that's like the biggest oppressor in our lives. Zach Abraham, socialism in the financial capital of the world. Is New York City still considered the financial capital of the world?
Yeah, not as of yesterday.
I guess. I mean,
yeah,
is there a reason Wall Street can't be somewhere else?
No, and as a matter of fact, they're in the process of creating a new exchange that supposedly will facilitate international trade on markets, just like Wall Street will, and they're doing it in Texas.
Yeah, that's where I would do too.
100%. Yes, absolutely. But no, I mean, it still is the center of the financial universe for now. I will say it's less so after yesterday because there will be, we'll have to see how many, but there is going to be an exodus of people out of the state for financial reasons and also just political reasons. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of people that are going to sit there and say, hey, I'm not going to divest of my New York assets, but I'm going to make sure that I spend 6 months in one day in Miami or somewhere else. And, you know, out of principle, right? Like I'm not going to allow this. And, I totally applaud that. And we know where New York's headed.
Yeah. And we do it. I mean, we talk about this all the time in Washington State and people saying, okay, when is enough? And, you know, you talked about it with the death tax. I know people say, Brandy, we don't have a death tax, but I call it a death tax because it's your money taken after you die. Where you said, I will not by principle allow them to tax that much of what I've built in my life. Like, I will find a way to avoid it. And so Washington State has been dealing with this and New York's going to continue to deal with it too.
Quite honestly, I think these elections came down to the 18 to 29 year olds. Right? 18 to 29 year old females swung like 85%.
I saw that. I'm sorry, yeah, for just my massive sex. I apologize and, on behalf of my gender.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating and so sad because the only reasons they're voting like that, ironically, is because of the perversions and the reductions in free market capitalism. Right. And the crony capitalism between government and large corporations. And then the other side of it is, it doesn't work well. And you're like, hey, guys, before you decide to torch that edifice, let's just remember the fact that it is the most successful, most wealthy and most powerful country on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to undo it and come up with a better one, history's pretty ripe with examples of it never plays out that way.
Yeah.
Right. What you're actually doing is you're cutting off the golden goose's head to extract all the golden eggs. And that's a one-time play. You get one turn at that.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then the other part of it is just to me is frustrating, but also sad where you sit there and go, guys, every reason you just voted that clown into office is going to get worse over the next 4 years.
Yep.
Brace yourself. To me, it's illustrative of the breakdown in our educational system because, and what I mean by that is it is not sometimes, it is always. The reason free markets work is not some voodoo or something that Ronald Reagan said or some idea that people came up with. The reason that free markets work are very easy to understand, meaning free markets are driven by supply and demand, and often the people providing the supply, should be of no surprise to people, are the people with the easiest access or the easiest way to garner that good. And what does that mean? It means that they have the lowest cost structure, which means what? They can pass that lower cost off to consumers. When you have one entity that doesn't have proximity or expertise in the gathering of any of those goods, and you ask them to both procure those goods and then retail those goods, it is impossible that you come up with a cheaper cost structure than you do if you leave it to open markets.
Right.
It's impossible. And it's not, it's like gravity. It doesn't work because we created a philosophy that's really cool. It works because it worked. Like, just, you know, it's, you're opening it up and you're saying whoever has the best and the cheapest, bring it to market. So it's a constant competition. The minute you undo that, you're going to add at the very least 25 to 35% for starters onto the cost of goods. And you're just every problem you've got, you just made worse.
Well, and then what they do is they supplement that with tax money and they say, oh, look how cheap this is. And they just make you ignore the actual tax money that's going into to prop it up. Like Mamdani all of a sudden in the last couple of days said, oh, I don't want government grocery stores. But he said that he wants to seize the means of production. I mean, he wants government run grocery stores. And again, you might be able to find an apple in there for like, what, 50 cents. But the apple actually costs $5. But the taxpayers have lowered the price of it. And they just don't, it makes literally no sense. I think the one thing that might actually get better in the short term in New York is rent, though. So he's talking about, you know, capping rent on rent controlled apartments or you know, halting the rent increases. But if you've got, I mean, we just read an article from Fox Business that one developer in Miami has had $100 million in business from New York in the last 2 months. So the last 2 months has more than doubled last year. So I actually think supply and demand issue, if people are fleeing really in droves out of New York City, I guess that would lower rents, right? Because the demand, not. Why not?
Probably not, because look at the net worth and the price of the place. So you're talking about, you know, the top 1%, the top 0.5% mm-hmm. in terms of, meaning if they sell their $15 million condo on, you know, on Central Park East, that isn't going to do anything to make pricing more affordable up and down the, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because the majority of the people that have cost of living issues are probably people that are making somewhere between 100 grand a year to 250 grand a year. Hmm. Well, those people aren't going to be in the neighborhood for $10 million condos anyway.
Yeah.
So I really don't think you're going to see that have a lot of impact. What I actually do think will happen is you will see, you will probably most likely see less supply of apartments and condominiums for rent. And generally speaking, I would expect the price pressures to go higher.
Yeah, and I suppose that's kind of what we see in Washington State after rent control went into effect, which is basically you had people who had units on the market and then they sold them off and it's not in a non-rental situation.
Yeah,
and then they're getting out of the business entirely.
Yeah, this is the non-economic idiocy left. Okay, if you want prices to go down, make it cheaper to make a good. Period. Yeah. End of story. Full, like that. That's how you do it. And they want to do everything but that. And it's just plain idiocy. Like the cheaper the good. Well, no, then they're going to price gouge people, and you're like, not in a free market.
Right.
Okay. Like all these guys. If one builder is out there trying to sell his stuff at a 25% margin, guess what the other builders are going to do? They're going to undercut him at 15.
Yeah.
So like no. It just, and that's the part of these arguments that are so frustrating to me, because we're not having realistic debates. What we're doing, and like I've said this before, is like it's equivalent in the medical industry to sit there and talk about whether we're dealing with COVID or some other disease, floating the idea of bleeding people again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, no, guys, that's 150-year-old ideology here. Like, for instance, it's also not a good idea to not wash your hands before surgery. Let's not throw out the things that we've all learned and know to be true. And, you know, and then you look at the people driving the election, that type of thinking is very emblematic of 20 to 30 year olds. You know what I mean? Like, well, just throw it all out. And you're like, oh my God. Okay. When you're not a child, what you'll understand is there are costs and benefits to doing everything.
Yeah.
And throwing the baby out with the bathwater doesn't typically result in a good deal for anyone.
Well, they can't really let go of that like oppressor versus oppressed mentality that I think has been like driven into their heads. And they think about that with landlords too, right? Like, oh, that's the oppressor and I'm the oppressed. And they have this control over this roof over my head. And they automatically look at price increases as gouging. And you reference that word. They automatically think they're doing this to me because they can. And they don't mm-hmm. think about, oh, my party jacked up property taxes. My party made it more expensive to heat and cool the home or apartment that I live in. And so those costs are now being passed along to me. And so it's like and that's not even really a difficult thing to understand, but that oppressor versus oppressed is drilled into them and they apply it to every single aspect of their lives.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the irony of that is that 250 years ago, we exited a political system that did oppress us, right?
Yeah.
We cast off those chains. And what's the irony and the tragic irony of the whole deal is you go, how do you get back in chains? It's that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Right? Like the oppressor versus the oppressed, all that other kind of stuff. And really what somebody needs to tell them is you need to do what everybody in this country has done, which is get off your ass and get to work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. And here's the deal. It's not going to be fun every day. You're going to have to go to work sick sometimes. You're going to have to do things you don't want to do. Okay. And you know, we call that adulthood. Grow up and shut up. You know, just True. Shut up.
I'm sick right now, Zach. And here I am at work because I run my Weird. Own business and we can't just take Weird. The day off.
Yeah. I know. Shocker.
God, you didn't really get PTO? What?
Well, you should ask your boss for PTO or a mental health day.
Excuse
I like
me,
that.
Can
one.
I
That's
have PTO? No. My boss said no. Sorry.
Yeah,
I've asked the
stock market for PTO about 100 times over the last 3 years. I have yet to get a yes. So.
You know what's interesting really quick on the oppressor versus oppressed? I just never thought of it. I guess they don't see the government as an oppressor.
No.
Isn't that interesting? No, and that's like the biggest oppressor in our lives.
Yeah, the only institution or the only body that can actually force increased amounts of income out of their pocket for years, somehow they get a pass.
Yeah.
And more importantly, they're seen as an ally in all this, which is just hilarious to me. You know, they're like, I was explaining this to my kids the other night. We were having this discussion. We have these discussions all the time, but I said to them, I go, guys, when you look back through the annals of human history, the fact that people trust government is one of the most incredible things on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Literally every great human tragedy, the perpetrator was government.
Yep.
Every time.
So true.
And the fact that we blindly, it's a really odd deal. You know what I mean? Like tell me how many countries got ruined by capitalism.
Yeah.
I don't know of any.
I think zero. Right? Yes.
Yeah. And then communism was responsible for what? 150, 200 million deaths in the last century. The most oppressive human rights extracting system the world has ever seen. There was a complete economic disaster. And these people are trying to rescue this off the trash heap of history and give it another run. The other thing is you go, you know how many Cuban boats you find up washed up on Florida beaches? Yeah. You find a lot. You know how many you find American boats washed up on Cuba? Not many.
Zero. Only the ones that shipwrecked there throughout no fault of their own. And they probably would rather go to the sharks than go ashore in Cuba. All right, let's
better chance with the sharks.
Let's do some watchdogging. So people loved your analysis of the constitutional amendment 8201. You said vote no. I ended up voting no. The people of Washington, however, voted yes. So now the state will be allowed to invest long-term care funds in the stock market, private equity, etc. So before we talk about this, I did have Senator John Braun, who's the leading Republican in Olympia, on the show, and he supported sending this to voters. Here is the rationale he gave.
You know, I've not always been a fan of state government, but if you had to pick one agency that does a good job, I would say it's the State Investment Board. Arguably the best in the nation. They manage over $200 billion in assets. All this amendment would do is say for the funds collected for long-term care program, the State Investment Board can invest those in the markets. And what that means is instead of having to pay the whole bill out of additional payroll taxes that we can expect instead of a 2% return, something closer, probably not as high, but the long-term average for the State Investment Board is about 9%. We're probably not going to get quite that high because of the difference in investing, but say we get 6% or 7%. That's the difference of billions of dollars in additional revenue to this program that doesn't have to come out of individuals' paychecks.
So he says State Investment Board has a multi-decade track record of solid, sound investments. What do you say to that?
Oh, who doesn't at this point?
Things have been pretty good.
You've had the longest bull run in U.S. history, and you've got the highest valuations. Right now is a time where I would least trust the State Investment Board. Mm. And the fact that they led with private equity right out of the gate, private equity is running right into the buzzsaw. It is chocked full of garbage. And like I told you, if they step up to the private equity bar right now, they'll get all they can take. And it's going to be garbage because those private equity firms are choking on this stuff.
Yeah.
And what are they going to unload? They're not going to unload the things they think are going to win big. They're going to unload their trash on you, right? And state invest decades long success track. Yeah, who hasn't? That's not the question. The question is, let's take a look at markets like private equity and the S&P 500. Let's look at the returns that they've posted over the last 15 years. And then let's go look at historical comps based on if you've got a market that's averaged 17, 18% a year for the last 15 years, what are the expected forward returns? You know what the expected forward returns are right now? -2% to 0% over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay, now, those aren't concrete numbers because those things can change. But what I'm saying is, I would be more in favor of granting the state that power in 08, 09 than I would now. Because in 08, 09, prices were so beat down, you couldn't lose.
It's,
you know, it was like
point.
Hitting water if you fell out of a boat, right? Now I'm sitting there looking at them going, and like I said, the fact that they mentioned private equity right off the top, I just went, oh my, and I know why they did it. They bought into the whole fixed income risk, equity like returns, which is just laughable. And so I hear what he's saying. If it played out like he said, I don't have a problem with the logic. But what leads me, the other issue is that I think that the government that you have in place is substantially different. Meaning, I didn't trust Jay Inslee as far as I could throw him. I don't trust Ferguson as far as I can throw Jay Inslee and his entire family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if he can get in there, and like, here's the other thing, $200 billion, you're going to let him invest in this stuff. Do you think there'll be any crony capitalism in that investment selection process?
Yep. Yep.
Do you think friends of Bob might end up with some more of that money in their investment accounts? I think that there are other ways. If the goal is to generate 5 to 6% returns, you can go do that by buying high quality fixed income right now. There is absolutely zero. If your goal is 5 to 6% returns, jumping into public markets in this environment, private equity is so. I totally disagree with him, because even the logic he stated in his support is flawed. It just doesn't hold water. I'm not attacking the guy. He sounds like a smart, thoughtful guy. I don't disagree with him in principle, just in practice. It's not going to play out that way.
Yeah. And it's always that, I think he used the phrase about, we can expect to get, it's like, I don't know a lot about investing. That's your territory, but I don't think you can ever expect anything per se. And when you're talking about the survivability of a fund that people have, whether they like it or not, had their hard-earned money taken from their paycheck and put into, you know, I think you have to expect the unexpected. I know that sounds very cliche, but, you know, the way they're investing it now, they're going to get gains. It's more reliable versus what they're about to embark on.
Yeah. And like I said, you can go out and buy, I mean, you can generate, you could take that money and we could do it. We'd go out and build a portfolio that has substantially little downside volatility that could return 5 to 6 and hold virtually zero equities. Mm-hmm. So taking zero equity risk, totally in fixed income, you can manage the duration risk pretty simply because you've got a known spend coming out of that portfolio, or close to a known spend. So you just stagger the duration. You could generate 5 to 6% taking virtually no risk.
Yeah.
So that like, if that's your goal, why are we going that route? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, here we are. I guess we'll find out, won't we? All right, Zach Abraham, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.